Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Wood, we'll hear a message by the founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., originally preached on January 6, 1955. The title of his message is Love Not the World. The text is from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, I'll read verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Just a moment, you're going to hear a chapel message preached on January 6th, 1955, by Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the founder of this institution. Many years ago, when I was a young man, I had to drive from out in the country to Atlanta to work every morning. The university owned a radio station in Atlanta called Wavo. And early every morning, I would catch Dr. Bob Sr.'s radio message. This was my introduction to Bob Jones University. And his messages by tape over the radio certainly blessed my heart in those days. And I'm sure that his message will bless your heart today.
Now wait, to whom is he talking? Are you in on this thing? God never told a sinner not to love the world. A sinner has an affinity for the world. God tells his own children not to love this world. Now what does he mean by the world? He doesn't mean the physical world. He doesn't mean the plains. He doesn't mean the mountains. He doesn't mean the jungles. He doesn't mean the flowers that come in springtime. He doesn't mean the rivers that run to the sea. He doesn't mean you're not to love the beautiful, quiet lake when the moon's shining. He doesn't mean that. He made this world. You know, I went by the old home where I used to live as a boy several years ago. It's been torn down now. It's not there anymore. I looked at it. It was all dilapidated. It never was a very fine house, but it was a pretty nice house, we thought. About as good as the average in that country when I was a boy. But I looked at it, and it was precious to me. There were some trees my father planted. And there were some flowers that my mother planted. Still some of the old roots left there. There was the old house. I remember when I was a little boy, they went out in the forest, hewed those great logs to put in that house. I looked at that house, and it was precious to me. It was dilapidated. It didn't look very attractive. The ravages of time had affected the building. But my father built it, and I loved it because he built it. This earth belongs to God. The earth doesn't belong to the devil. He doesn't own anything. Dirty, four-flushing crook. All he has, he's usurped it. He doesn't own anything. Devil's destructive. Devil never planted a flower, never painted a rose, never lighted a star. Devil never made a lovely landscape. He doesn't own anything. Dirty, low-down crook, trying to get what is not his. Everything in this universe belongs to God. He made all things, and by him all things hold together. So this world's his. The earth is the Lord. He's not talking about the physical world. Now, there's dilapidation in this world. You have the desert out yonder where there's nothing to grow. You know why? Sin did it. This earth was a perfect earth one time. God did not make this earth imperfect. All that evolutionary idea of the gradual evolution, there isn't a word of truth in it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Definite, clear cut. He spoke worlds into existence. In the beginning. But when God made this earth, originally it was a perfect earth. There wasn't a desert spot on it. There was no such thing as a curse. There was a lovely garden, put a man there, and then after man sinned, a curse came upon it for the sake of man. God doesn't want a man to feel too much at home down here. God Almighty said, I'm going to curse it. Serpent that sinned and led you astray, I'm going to put a curse and he'll crawl to the dust all of his life. Men will come along, step on his head, crush the head on the heel. God said, I'm going to curse you women. I'm going to make you subject to your husbands. Listen, all the struggle of women to get out from that curse is a sort of an inherited resentment of a curse. All the effort that men are making in the world now to make a living without work. To get out from under the sweat, God said you have to earn your bread with the sweat of your brow. You've got it to do. Listen, you may think you won't sweat, but you'll sweat if you're in this world. You may sweat intellectually. You may sweat emotionally. But you can't do it. You can pile up your money, and the more money you get, the more miserable you get. So the curse is here. On the earth, you have the desert, you have the earthquakes, you have famines, you have pestilence, you have thorns, you have thistles, you have the curse. And he's not talking about this physical world, though. I look at this world sometime and think, what's it going to be? Someday when this world is put back where it was, the Garden of Eden will be there with all of the purity that went with it. Flowers will bloom. No famine, no pestilence, no curse. You know, Jesus Christ died to redeem us from the curse. The curse is to be lifted. But now he's not talking about the physical world. He says, love not the world. He's talking about the organized world. He's putting you up against a problem. You know, you live in a spectacular world. Go to New York City. So I've done some time and stood down Broadway and watched the people passing. Look at the skyscrapers. I drive around here in this country and watch this lovely country we have down here. You are living in one of the most beautiful spots in America today. You can go out anywhere around this town. You'll find lovely homes and fine roads and all over this country, lovely roads. And down this Piedmont section, beautiful section there. And there's growth here. It's mighty hard not to love the world. You look into skyscrapers, the cities, and see what man's done. Magnificent hotels. Go across this country on planes and trains. On the ships at sea. You know, sometimes it's very bewildering. It gets hold of you. But he told me not to love it. Listen, love not the world. What? The organized, the cosmos, the system. Love not the world system. You've got a world of music. You've got to watch out. It doesn't get you. Has its place. Listen, you're not to bow down at the shrine of music and worship music. You're not to worship achievement either. You're not to worship speech. You're not to worship art. You're not to worship beauty. You look at beauty, all right. But you're not to worship the flowers, however beautiful they may be. Remember now, men and women, boys and girls, remember. He says what he means and means what he says. You've got to watch out. This thing will get you if you don't. You know, every time I get around and look at it and see a cloud coming, it reminds me of the curse. Man's tried to build a world. He's failed every time he ever tried. The dust of his centuries blows over the bones of empires he built. You know, we think we're so wonderful sometimes. You ought to have been back in Babylon. I've often wondered about those lovely gardens they had up in the air swinging there. Don't you think you know it all? I remember years ago when I was over in Athens. I came down there to the Parthenon. Got down there, right over there was some stones. Been there for millenniums. Old Greek was showing me, trying to show me and tell me in his Greek language, which I couldn't understand, about two stones there on the steps. And they were so close together, you didn't notice there were two stones. He was showing me what his ancestors did. There were those stones so perfectly fitting together till you couldn't tell where they came together. He got me down on my knees and I looked up and saw there's two stones instead of one. Talk about culture. Don't you think that we have it all? They had something in the old days. Don't you think those ancient Romans didn't have anything? You go over there now and walk around on the ruins of them. But man is a failure. Now, wait a minute. He doesn't like to be told that, but it's so. Man's a failure. Always has been a failure. You're not a successful fellow unless you can hold something after you get it. I always have wondered why a man's so chesty. Walking around sticking out his chest thinking he's some big boy. Why don't you keep what you had? Greece, what'd you do with your culture? Babylon, what became of your gardens? Rome. Yeah, I've seen your crumble ruins. Not so smart after all. What's the matter with you? Listen. The man in the beginning believed the devil's lie. Devil said he could be somebody. He said he could do something. He said he could accomplish something. He said, you can be like God. Be a big boy. And they've been telling their children ever since to be somebody. Make something out of yourself. You be somebody. Have some ambition. You have no right to have any ambition to be anything except what God Almighty wants you to be. He has a will for your life. And all the world's filled with struggle. Here's a woman struggling to get somewhere where she doesn't belong. Not willing to be surrendered to God and fit into the place. And some fellow comes along, maybe he's going to be a preacher. The devil begins to show him from the mountaintops a church with a big steeple. Maybe God's used him where he is. He wants to be a big boy, you know. And go up, you know, he's gifted. God gave him some talent. He wants to be on where that big church, that big steeple, be somebody. Now, that's what he says here. This cosmos, this world system, is built on paradise lost. Now, notice, all is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now, get it, young folks. This is in the Bible. Now, don't blame me for this. All that's in this cosmos, all that's in this system, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's not God's doing. It belongs to a world system. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Now, when the devil came to Eve, he tempted Eve through exactly those three channels. Now, notice, he said to Eve, that fruit looks good, doesn't it? Imagine it tastes well, don't you? Uh-huh. It makes your mouth water. Yeah? Yeah, it sure does look good. All right. Why don't you eat it? Lust of the flesh, appetite. You're made that way. Why do you want it if you shouldn't have it? You ought to have what you want, don't you? Yeah, well, it looks good. Eat it. Lust of flesh. Notice now. So it looks good to the eye, too. It's beautiful. Oh, the eye. Looks so nice, doesn't it? Uh-huh. Say, know what it'll do for you? Make you wise. You'll be somebody's big. You'll be a god. You'll step around here in the garden. You don't have to wait for the twilight when God Almighty comes to see you. You'll be a god yourself. And she failed. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Now notice, one day the second Adam came along, the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil met him and said, hungry, aren't you? Uh-huh. Been fasting, yes. See that stone out, John? Uh-huh. Yeah, I see it. Ought to see it. He made it. There would have been a rock if he hadn't created the universe. Well, you've got a right to eat. Why don't you go ahead and eat? You can do it. Use your power. Such a stuff. You're the Son of God. Turn that rock into a loaf of bread and eat it. Lust of the flesh. Took him on the mountaintop and said, look around over yonder. Look as far as you see. You see all that stuff? You don't have to die for it. Look at it. Rome. All this world. I'm running. Oh, yes, I'm running. I took it over when man fell. I built the cosmos on the paradise lost. built on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Now, you don't have to die. It's awful to die. Calvary, Garden of Gethsemane. You take it. I'll give it to you. Now, I'll tell you what you do. You just acknowledge it belongs to me. That's all I ask you. Just bend your knee a little and say it's yours. I'll hand over to you. I've been looking for somebody like you. Take orders from me. Some person bow. You are the Son of God, you say. Yes, I see. Lust of the eye. Look and see and take it. What else? Took my born people to the temple and said, you are the Son of God, aren't you? You are? Well, I'll tell you what you do now. If you are the Son of God, you've got an opportunity to show off. Here's a crowd here now. You can make the headlines. You don't have to go a lowly, rugged way up to Golgotha. Great crowd in town. You're up here on the temple. Poise yourself. Get ready. All right, come on now. I'll tell you what you do. You just jump over here. And before you ever get to the ground, tell you what will happen. If you are the Son of God, angels will swoop down and pick you up and you'll be in the headlines. Everyone will be talking about you. You don't have to go to a cross. Take it over in a spectacular way. Be a showman. Pride of life. Adam and Eve failed. Paradise was lost. Devil began to build his empire on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. The whole system is built on paradise lost. Now, Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. He didn't say it's not for this world. He said it's not of this world. My kingdom's not according to the world system. It's contrary to it. It runs across the current of the ages. I go to the cross. I choose to die. I lay down my life. Others choose to live in the light and glamour of order. Now, wait a minute. Everybody in the world isn't bad. God has good people. But the Bible says we are pilgrims and strangers. We don't belong to this system. Say, if you can feel perfectly at home in this world, you are not a Christian. I've never been in a great city or in a great center. I've never seen a great throng of human beings. I've never seen a great parade day. I've never seen anything like that in my life since I was converted that I didn't have a sort of feeling I'm not at home. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are pilgrims and strangers. Now, wait a minute. The devil has to give us a better world because we're here. Let me illustrate. Suppose in Washington the Republicans were in power. They had a majority in the House, majority in the Senate. But suppose over yonder is a little protesting group. That little protesting group would have an influence on the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. One good man in any community living the right kind of life for God is a protest against the devil's system. And you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But don't you feel like you're running it. You may be slowing the devil down a little, but you are not running it. The majority of the people of this world are under orders from the devil and are controlled by the devil, and the majority of them don't even claim to be Christians. And of those that call themselves Christians, only a small minority of those are Christians. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not the Father of the world. And you tell me that you are not living a separated Christian life and call yourself a Christian? You're disobeying the divine orders. Now, we are told to use the world, not abuse it. I've got a right to ride in a plane, ride on a train, stop at a hotel, buy food from a grocery store, buy a suit of clothes downtown. I've got a right to do those things. I've got a right to go and vote on election day. I've got responsibilities to render to Caesar that which is Caesar, unto God that which is God. But if I've got the philosophy of the world, I belong to the world. If I love it, I'm a part of it. If I'm at home in it, perfectly contented and like it, all around me with all of its glamour, there's something wrong with me. You've got to watch your step. Love not the world, leave things in the world. For all is in the world, lust of the flesh and lust behind, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Doesn't belong to God. It's not his system. His system is a directly opposite to that. His marching is different from that. The religion of the world is a worldly religion. Listen. Well, the religion of the world comes along and says, do and live. It's a religion of Cain. Religion of a murderer. Cain, what's your religion? I don't offer a lamb. I offer the product of my effort. I claim the right. What'd you offer, Abe? I offer a lamb. I'm unworthy. The religion of Jesus is the religion of Abel. Religion of the world is the religion of Cain. Religion of Jesus is the religion of Lot. Snatched out of Sodom, we actually got into it. Saved and answered the prayer of Abraham, who believed God, while Lot compromised. The religion of the world is the religion that was destroyed. Represents the world government that was destroyed with a flood. The religion of God is religion of Noah. Saved in the flood. It's come down the ages. Noah went one way, the world went another. Abel went one way, Cain went another. Abraham went one way, and the world went another, and Lot joined the world for a while, but was snatched out of it like a brand from a burning. Young people, the world passes away. All the empires that man has built in the past are heaps of rubbish. They'll say this was a certain civilization, dig a little deeper and find another, a little deeper and find another one. Talk about the Bible being the word of God, this I know is true. I know if this says what it means what it says. The world passes away. Man is incapable of building a civilization that'll last. He doesn't build it on the right foundation. If the foundation be destroyed, there's nothing to build on. Man's incapable. But wait a minute. You are built upon the eternal promises. You have a foundation that's sure and steadfast. You're somebody. You're not at home. That's the reason they don't understand Bob Jones University sometimes. This emphasis here today. I'll venture that you wouldn't hear this type message on one platform. I'll say not on 10 platforms in education institutions of America. This is not the voice of the age. This is a voice contrary to the voice of his age. This is not the voice of man speaking. It's God speaking through the Bible. Young people, take your choice. Disobey God and take the consequences. Talk about separation. Why, they say they don't smoke on Bob Jones University campus. What do they do for a pastime? No wild parties out there. How do they get along without wild parties? Well, you know, we don't belong in some things, you know. We're supposed to be Christians. We let our light shine. We're to demonstrate in the world like Noah did. Back there when the flood was coming, he demonstrated he had something. And after a while, when the flood came, he was in there. Now, I imagine sometimes that he was up there on a hilltop, somebody that maybe laughed at him. When the water was piling up and Noah's ark began to lift. And he looked at it. Young folks, your day is coming. This is man's day. This is not God's day. God's day is coming. Judgment's going to be poured out on the earth. The world passes away. The lust thereof. We're not living the world I was born into. Your grandchildren, if the Lord tarries, will live in a different world than this. There may be the mightiest wave of what they call material success in the next 10 years the world's ever known. Nobody knows. There may be an atomic bomb that'll drop. That'll destroy empires and civilization in the next 10 years. We don't know. But we know one thing, that the system that man's built can't stand. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This empire we call world civilization, built on human degeneracy and human depravity, has no solid foundation. It depends upon the whims of man. Napoleon Bonaparte, Alexander the Great, a flat-headed Italian named Mussolini, a chesty little fella that used to be a sort of a house paper and a painter named Hitler. A man up in Russia they call Stalin. Some other man in the Orient attracts attention. And they light the fire of ambition and put it to burn in the hearts of lost men. And they tear up their own house. It sure is nice to have something that'll last. The world passes away. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You have only one responsibility. Do the will of God in your life. Missionary, go ahead. Preacher, go ahead. School teacher, go ahead. Housewife, all right. Thy will be done in my life. That's all that counts. That's the way to victory. That's the way to eternal achievement. That's the way to everlasting success. That's God's way. That's the only way. All the ways and wills of man, wreck, ruin, destruction, chaos, no foundation. God help us to mean it. Thy will, O God, be done in my life. Where He leads me, I'll follow. I go where He wants me to go. I'll not look for a big place, I'll look for His place, and that'll be a big place. If it's a little place, it'll still be a big place. I'll not try to gratify any human ambition. I'll endeavor to do the will of God. And you'll abide forever. After a while, the world will catch fire and burn. Moon will come up as red as blood. A breath from the nostrils of God will blot out the stars. That's not the end of it. There's a new heaven and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. And you'll reign with Him forever and forever. He that doeth the will of God, he that doeth the will of God, abideth forever. God help us to do it. Our Father, we pray to help this school do thy will, the Board of Trustees, the administrators here in the school, all the teachers and the students, help us to cooperate, bear one another's burdens. We are marching pilgrims and strangers through this land. Keep us faithful, Thee. Help us yield our lives to Thee. Be true to Thee. We thank Thee for the blessing, the spiritual approval we've had this year. And we thank Thee for all the blessings Thou hast sent to this institution. And in this strange land through which we as Christians travel, we thank Thee that somehow or other, God makes the wrath of men to praise Him. And God Almighty hitches to His chariot of purpose for our lives, even the adversities we meet. Help us to know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are called according to His purpose.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we heard a recorded message by the late founder of BJU, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob.